Good morning and welcome to West Valley Presbyterian Church. We're happy to have you with us this morning.
Our text this morning is Matthew chapter 28. It felt right and appropriate to me that we would conclude our Lenten experience by taking the Gospel of Matthew that we've spent our season of Lent in and bring that all the way to its conclusion. And so the title for today's sermon is The Yoke of Evangelism. And I've chosen that title specifically because I've been calling us back over and over again to this amazing invitation that Jesus extends to the people of God. That is to anybody who's tired and worn out. The people of God, which is everybody who's tired and worn out. You follow? He extends this invitation to them in Matthew chapter 11. He's done a thorough assessment of his people's religious experience. He's done a thorough assessment of the way that the Pharisees and the scribes operate and how people are trying to live under that burden. He's done a thorough assessment and he finally says, okay, enough is enough. Come unto me. If you're tired of this, if the way we've lived out our religion has worn you out, come unto me. Come unto me, all you who are weary. Come unto me, all you who are carrying heavy loads. Come unto me and take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke and learn from me. That is, yoke with me, be yoked unto me, harness up with me, and together we're going to learn a new way of living. We're going to learn a new way of being in the world. We're going to learn a new way of holding all of life. And in learning this, you're going to find rest. And not just rest for your bodies, Jesus said, but rest for your soul. Rest for the totality of you, who you are. You're going to be able to live in a kind of laboring work that is restful. This is the invitation that Jesus extends to us. And he promises at the end, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the invitation at the very center of the Gospel of Matthew, which informs everything that comes after it, in my view, including this text at the end, which, in my experience, is one of the heaviest burdens that the evangelical Christian church carries with it. I can't tell you how much I have seen the Church of Jesus Christ among us evangelical Presbyterian Protestants just sink under the weight of the Great Commission. And when I see that, I've got a couple of choices to make. I can either double down and remind you of your duty as good Christians to go out into all the world and to proclaim the good news. I can double down on that. And I can tell you really inspiring stories about other Christians who are way better than you who go out and do this to great effect. I can double down on that, or I can actually take a page from Jesus and say, something about the way we hold the gospel, something about the way we hold Matthew chapter 28 is confused if we cannot see that as the natural expression, as the inevitable, abundant outcome of Jesus' invitation in Matthew chapter 11. You following with me? Okay, so here's Matthew chapter 28. You're all good Christians, so you've heard it a million times. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so we begin a sermon about evangelism. And whenever I preach a sermon on evangelism, I'm always remembering that one congregant who caught me those many years ago when I first started out as a solo pastor. And I was talking to a congregation not very different from this one, a congregation that was having an increasingly difficult time connecting to the community around it. And I was talking about the need for evangelism. In fact, the congregation, the PNC that called me, did so because they really wanted to reach their community. They really believed that they, a beautiful little, basically a farm church that had been built right in the middle of some farmland that had been donated by one of the members, that this little farm church, which was now in the very heart of this bedroom community in South Orange County, that they really wanted to connect to the larger community. The community of climbers, the community of the recently affluent, the community of the people living in a new season of leisure, because Orange County is a pretty great place to retire to. They wanted to reach this community. And so I was talking about preaching and urging them into evangelism, into sharing their faith. And I preached the sermon probably not dissimilar from this one, and one in which the invitation is at its heart to live under the yoke of Jesus such that we naturally find ourselves out into the world. And what happens when we go out into the world? We see Jesus out in the world. We see Christ at play in the world, and we go and we join Christ in that. And as we have learned, as we have experienced Christ, so we share that and invite other people to experience it as well. That was the sermon I preached. Pretty good sermon, yeah? And this one member of the congregation came to me and spoke for an entire generation of Christians when she said to me, "Pastor, I know you didn't say it, and I know you didn't mean it, but as you were speaking, all I could think is that you want us to go out and go door to door." And I loved that honesty. "You're right," I said. "I didn't say that. You're right. I didn't mean that. And yet, no matter what comes out of pastor's mouth, we here in the United States have been so conditioned to believe that the only way we can be faithful to Jesus and the Great Commission is to go out and do things that we would rather do anything than do that. Somehow we get it in our heads that to live out the Great Commission is what really God wants from us is to do something we would just do anything to avoid. Like go door to door. Like proselytize. Like get in people's faces. Like shake a Bible at them. Like preach on a street corner." Now, I remember being so embarrassed when I made some disparaging marks about people who do that, about people who preach on street corners, about people who go from, you know, pass out tracts and connect to people. I remember being so embarrassed when I was making some disparaging comment about those things, and a friend of mine said, "Actually, I was sitting on the curb outside my dorm, and a person came and sat down to me and said, 'Can I tell you about Jesus?' And that's how I came to Christ." It works. For some people, in some contexts, that works. But to take the fullness of this amazing thing that is called discipleship with Jesus, and to take this amazing invitation that is extended to us in Matthew chapter 11 that says, "Take on my yoke, learn from me, learn my rhythms, walk with me in this, and go out into the world with me and live out this abundant life." To take all that and boil it down to, "You're not a good Christian unless you memorize the four spiritual laws, unless you get people to say this certain prayer, unless you go out and do something that makes you incredibly uncomfortable. I just don't understand it. I just don't understand it. Now, here's the part where you're ready. You've bought in, right? You're sold. You're like, great, I'm so glad that I don't have to do any of those things. What is it that you do expect me to do, Pastor? How about we actually don't ask Pastor Morgan to tell you what to do about this? How about we actually go to the scriptures instead? And let's just hold in our minds and our hearts the incredible invitation now. It's no longer a burden. It's no longer a responsibility. It's no longer a, I died for you, so you got to do for me kind of arrangement that Jesus seems to be laying out for us. It is instead what we talked about last week, that the resurrection has taken place. The fullness of Christ has taken place. That Christ is now broken free in the world, and people are now able to experience it through the person of Jesus in a way that is beyond compare, beyond grasping, beyond holding. Imagine that that's what the invitation is, and that Jesus is simply inviting us to keep living in it. Keep living out the resurrected life. Now, of course, this should feel daunting to us. Of course it should feel daunting to us because Jesus makes a point of talking about all. There's actually five alls to the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me, Jesus says. Move out and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And remember that I will be with you all your days. Five alls. I don't know about you, but sometimes the feeling of all just blows me away. I experience this with the kids. I got two sons. I try to get them to do a little bit in the way of chores. And they're always about the work of dividing. Okay, you got to take out the trash. Dibs on recycling. They immediately want to pick, they don't want to take on the whole task of all the trash. They want to divide it up. Okay, you do this, I'll do that. And I finally said, look, I actually think you guys do need to learn how to clean the entire kitchen. This load the dishwasher, unload the dishwasher thing, that's great. But see, the thing is, you miss some big pieces of this whole clean kitchen thing. So we're going to do this new rhythm where once, you know, you guys are now going to take turns. And when you're over at my house, 1 week, you're going to clean the whole of the kitchen. And this look on their face was just like, oh my gosh. And it was, okay, wait. What does all mean? Right? Please define for me all. That's just how we're built, right? And so it makes some sense, doesn't it? That when Jesus kind of gives us these five alls, that we're just like, oh my gosh, I can't possibly do this. And that, and what the gospel, what Matthew's trying to say to us, what he's inviting us into is a recognition that your little part as a person, our little part as the church, is actually just giving ourselves fully to the all that is Christ. Jesus Christ has claimed the all, not us. Jesus Christ has begun this journey, begun this work of kingdom advancement that is all, and we're just part of it. We don't have to claim all of it. We get to just give all of our, the only all we got to give is the, all of ourselves. All of ourselves to that work. Because Jesus says, all authority is mine. And I will be with you all the way through. Notice the preach, you know, and there's, you know, whenever we talk about the call to foreign mission, there's always that emphasis on all nations. And Matthew's really excited about this. Matthew really wants us to understand this all nations part. Do you remember why? It's because he takes it all the way back to Abraham. And Abraham, who'd received the first covenant, was told by God, I've chosen you, one person, to be the head of one family that's going to become one nation. And through that one nation, I'm going to showcase to the whole world how good and awesome and great and how wonderful it is to have me as God. You're going to be my case study. And you're not going to be my case study because you're morally better than anybody else. You're not going to be my case study because you're more superior in any way, shape, or form. I've just picked you. I just need one group of people to showcase this to, because he says, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and all your descendants, so that in being blessed, you will be a blessing. That was the covenant. And so all nations is Matthew's way of simply saying Jesus has now picked up this covenant again and said, hey, disciples, you've been blessed with the experience of the resurrection. Go and be a blessing. Hey, Israel, I have given the fullness of myself to you. Believe in this and now go live it out in order to be a blessing. Church, you have been blessed. Go out and be a blessing. That's the call. Go out and be a blessing. Teach them everything I've commanded you. What did Jesus command? Love. What did Jesus command? Forgiveness. What did Jesus command? Generosity. What did Jesus command? To give in suffering love. Just go do that. And do that in the full name of God, the God who is, by definition, relationship, who invites us, who's drawing all people, everybody in. What we picked up and thought about, perhaps for the very first time last week, about the way in which Mary encounters Jesus, her friend, and is fully aware and is the first person to be allowed the privilege of sharing with the rest of the world. This friend of ours, Jesus, is fully the Christ, the anointed one, the Logos, the one through whom all of creation comes into being. We get to now reveal that to the world. The reason why Matthew emphasizes all five times is because only everything can hold this revelation. Nothing but everything is needed to experience the full love and power of God. And what Jesus invites us to go to do now is to say, this isn't your little thing that you now need to go and try and pitch it to other people. This is not some grand pyramid scheme. This isn't some indirect distribution system. This isn't some plan or some product. This is a new and abundant life. And all I'm asking you to do, all I'm requiring you to do, if you want to talk about it as a requirement, is to go out and live it. How does that feel? Do you feel lighter? Do you feel like, hey, I could do that? Or do you feel like, tell me more? The wonderful part and the hard part, in my view, is that Jesus actually doesn't use the words works of, he doesn't use missionary language or what we typically think of as missionary language. Jesus doesn't go and say, you need to proselytize, you need to convert, you need to convince, you need to cajole, you need to impress. He just says, go and teach. We are a teaching church. We are a church that loves to learn. We love to come to church to get more learning. And I love that because I love to learn and I love to teach. And yet, friends, I need to tell you, and I want you to believe me. I want you to believe me right now and then live this out next Saturday at Teddy Bear Fair. I want you to hear me right now and then live this out with your family, with your friends, with your grandkids, with your colleagues, with the people you actually have fun with. I want you to believe me. When it comes to living out the Great Commission, trust me when I tell you, yes, even you, you know enough. There's not a blessed thing I need to teach you to go out and live out this great commission as God has empowered you. Why? Because Jesus is going to go with you. If you invite him. So, that's the thing I'm going to tell you to do. Invite Jesus to give you eyes to see and ears to hear how he's already at work in the world. Ask Jesus to give you insight into the way Christ is already at work in your non-Christian friends, in your unbelieving grandchildren, in your wayward sons and daughters. Ask Christ to give you eyes to see how he's already at work in the homeless person who was hanging out in the patio before we came into worship this morning. And in the messy political situations that you find yourself in personally or nationally, we need to see the world differently. And that is what the Great Commission is really inviting us to do. It's inviting us to see that God's bigger than the boxes we've placed him in. That Jesus Christ is at play in places we never would have imagined. And he's already at work in relationships that he's going to invite us into. The Great Commission is the ultimate expression of this light and gentle yoke that Jesus has offered to us in Matthew chapter 11. My hope and prayer is that we would walk out of this place lighter, more free, and more able, therefore, to give generously to what we have. Mike is a pain in the neck. Mike's a pain in the neck because every time I think of a really good thing to do in sermons, he's already done it in his class. But Mike Clark is going to talk about the stories about Jesus after the resurrection, and that's what I'm going to do for the next few weeks because I think there's something really beautiful about being unburdened by this notion that the whole story is about the cross. Is the cross super important? Yes. Is the cross a means by which we experience God? Yes. Is there more to experience and learn and live out in light of the cross? Yes. Is that, in fact, the gospel? Yes. Oh, boy. You're almost playing along today. I want you to go and check out Mike's class, hear those great stories, and we're going to talk about those over the next few weeks because I think that as we do this, we're going to start to realize we actually know enough. And we actually are living in this story. And God's actually opening up for us new opportunities to live into it in a way that we really need to see differently, to experience differently. And that's what happens for the first disciples, and we want to experience that too. So, in essence, I'm finishing our Lent and our Easter series today. On this, the Sunday after Easter, let us once more time share in this liturgy that I gave you at the beginning of our Lenten process about what it means to experience Christ's yoke of grace. This time we're going to do it a little differently. Usually I read the parts that are not in bold, and then you read the bold parts, but we're going to flip it because I want you to be able to hear and articulate the invitations that Jesus is extending to us. Are you ready? It's on the back side of your bulletins. The invitation, come to me, learn from me, take my yoke of grace. Come to me, all you that labor, all you that are weary, all you that are carrying heavy burdens. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Learn from me how to recover your life. How to take a real rest. How to live freely and lightly. How to match your pace to the unforced rhythms of grace. Learn from me. Live in me. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I am gentle and humble in heart. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. For my burden is light and easy to be borne. Partner with me in all that you are and do, and you will find rest for your souls. I will give you rest. Release from your fear and shame. Relief from your effort to get attention and to make things happen. Respite from your worries and preoccupations. Refreshments in the presence of your enemies. Renewal in the face of disease and decay. Resurrection in the face of death. I am your shepherd, and I will give you everything you need. Amen. And now, and receive the benediction, knowing that we've got folks over here on the sides to pray with you if you need that. But now receive the benediction in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The triune God, whom Jesus called us to go out and to share the good news, to live out this gospel life with every part of our being, in the name of this one who draws us and draws everything into love, go out and live that love out with courage and hope, knowing that Christ goes with you. Go in peace. Amen.